First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on your roll, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you found us in your podcast app, and of course...
Twitch.tv/UpNextPodcast. Hello, Twitch room. How are we doing?
Yes, we are back up next, together in the same place, the same time.
Live?
Live on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
And... I'm not sure if anyone's aware, but it's spring break.
Spring break, guys.
Spring break.
Spring breakin'.
Spring break.
Rippin' chicken. Stunkin'.
Breakin', dunkin'. Breakin'. Spring breakin' forever. That's what we're here today. Spring break. If you're in the Twitch, you might see we're rocking our spring break attire.
Yeah. I mean, just look outside.
It's beautiful.
It feels like spring break. We've got the... beautiful gray clouds, the rain.
I think that's lightning over there.
It's lightning.
It might be a tornado, not sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah, spring break here for us. So we're rocking our Hawaiian shirts and my bucket hat, and we are ready for some NXT.
Mm.
But yeah, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. Back in the swing of things. Been 3 days back at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little exhausted. We've been kind of tearing it up since being back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice putting NXT at 8 p.m. rather than 1 in the morning.
6 a.m.
That's a lot nicer.
Right.
Yeah, and it's good to be back.
Getting
in the swing of things, yeah.
Working
a lot.
We had a little, welcome back Davey party on Saturday night at the BDE, and it turned into a karaoke party.
Oh, yeah.
People brought dates to the party.
They did.
So that's always fun.
We are making new drinks. Who would have known? Who would have thought? Hot cross bun gin with Coke
is, it
is amazing.
Hot,
yeah.
It's gin that's
it was gin. Hot cross bun flavored gin with Coke. Everyone had a sip and was like, oh.
Is that a hot cross bun?
That kind of lingers. It was so nice.
Literally someone was like, I know that flavor. And we were like, wait, you didn't even know that that's what it was? We had quite a little party on Saturday. But yeah, we've been also recording a bunch of shows and stuff as well. So it's been all right. Back into like the normal schedule for yourself.
Back into the routine. Yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. And are you just like, ugh.
No, it's good to be back
into
the routine. Like I'm kind of ready for this like summer weather to come in. I'm going to be working a lot. I just picked up another job. So going to be working at another patio for the summer as well.
Patio season coming.
Going to be working a lot, but that means lots of money, which means I can like go to things like wrestling again and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We've hopefully got a little trip to Dynamite in a few weeks coming up. That'll be fun.
Are you talking about how you want to get tickets for Monday Night Raw coming to the Scotiabank Arena in August?
When's that? August?
they've announced Raw's coming in August, and I think the dark match is Cody versus Seth.
Yeah, I'll go to Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can see it out our window right now.
Yeah, we can walk there in minutes. So
I went to we live now a 4 minute walk from the Rogers Center. I went to a Jays game for the first time since like COVID and everything. And now living here, like being able to just be like, oop, and going in, it was pretty sweet. And then the Jays are playing again tonight. I probably would have done the doubleheader because there was
the Yankees series right now.
And it looks like the Yankees just absolutely spanked the Blue Jays.
Oh,
so
dear.
They beat them yesterday too, but just by a point. But wow.
Mm.
Yeah. But that was a lot of fun kind of going.
Leafs doing all right?
The Leafs are also winning. They won a game like pretty good. So, I mean, hey, Toronto's up right now.
It's exciting. What a time.
Yeah. I put in a... Like after the Jays game, I got an email from Toronto Blue Jays and MLB and Rogers Center being like, hey, do you want to do this like questionnaire about your experience at the game? So I gave honest review. I said everything was great. Atmosphere is great. Felt safe. Felt fun. Whatever. Only complaint. I got a hot dog and it was terrible. Like I'm going to a baseball game. The only place I probably want a hot
dog. Would get a hot dog.
Why was the... topping selection, mustard and ketchup. I'm at the Rogers Center. You have sushi on some of these.
They're like street meat. guy, like, that's just what I
said,
down here.
That's what I said in the review. I said next time, I was like, I came with a group. We were really disappointed. We also, like, if we knew that the hot dogs were so bad, it was the bun. It was too bunny. It was like a rock, almost like a like hard bun.
You need a good meat to bread ratio.
Exactly. And it didn't have that whatsoever. Mm. So I was honest with the MLB and the Rogers Center and the Blue Jays Corporation. And I'm hoping to hear back. Maybe they'll take my, I said that I've been to games in other places in the world where I, you know, I've had hot dogs. Why can't you live up to the standard of having a dog true. At a game, you know? We need the Jays game. All these American stadiums talking about how they have good hot dogs. Not that hot dogs suck, but like when you're at a baseball game, that's like the only time. And I was a little disappointed.
Mm.
You know, you pay 30 bones for a hot dog and a beer, and the hot dog is just ass. I mean, it probably is actual ass because it's a hot dog.
Yeah. Like,
I hope I can get the world changing.
Better hot dogs at the,
yeah,
because we need it for when wrestling
when wrestling comes there. Yeah, for sure.
We're starting now for when wrestling, yeah, comes at the Rogers Center.
For sure,
they'll have good hot dogs.
Well, it looks like WWE might be doing more stadium show. I mean, they must have their eye on doing a big like show at the Dome as well too. But I don't know if after being there in the Jays, the Rogers Center, I'm like, ooh, this is a lot of seats. I don't know if you could do the whole thing, but like. Smaller things, yeah, for shows. Yeah, why not? Yeah, that's what I did. I went to that. We also have a new whole schedule coming out for May of podcasts. So that's what we're going to be doing this month.
Yeah. As always, lots of exciting things to look forward to. We're going back into retro 2013 NXT. We're in September now, around like my birthday time.
It's September 2013. It's the Sami Zayn Cesaro feud, and now Sami Zayn
Swagger,
Jack Swagger, which, I mean, if we ever do a best match ever, Jack Swagger, this match has to be,
yeah,
talked about. So sleeper hit. Everyone remembers the 2 out of 3 falls Sami Cesaro, but we got to talk about this. This will be out this,
yeah,
week.
Good episode we're talking about this, yeah, week. We've got another Friday the 13th coming next week, so we'll be diving back into that with part 2 of Friday 13th.
Yeah.
We've kind of been all over the place with Friday the 13th.
We let people vote last time.
Freddy versus Jason. We've done Jason X. We've, yeah, done the first one. So I think go to number 2 this time.
Yeah.
We've got the 25th anniversary of WCW Slamboree.
Whoa.
We're going to be talking about a bit of a retro WCW review.
Yeah. I mean, and then a huge show that actually we're going to be releasing this weekend, and we're going to record it tomorrow. So I would love some people's feedback. We know that we talk about AEW, and they're doing the whole Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Well, we've never done a best match ever, Owen. So that's what we're doing this week. Best match ever, Owen Hart. We would love your recommendations and feedback up there, because I love Owen Hart and can't wait to talk all about. I already know what it is. I'm not going to lie. My cards
it might
are on the
change.
Table.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Sometimes we've had things and we've been like, oh, you that added, was a bit of a...
Yeah,
I saw
the list.
That tag match we talked about on the, yeah, the Razor Ramon,
yeah,
show, that kind of caught me by surprise.
Yeah, so a lot of our best matches ever, we did the Steiners one, and like there was some sleeper like Japan Tokyo Dome one. We were like, what the... Like some crazy stuff that we do the digging. We do our research. Well, at least you look at like cage match and all sorts of different things, and yeah, you compile these lists. But Owen Hart, gonna chat all about the career of and best matches of him, and I can't wait because I love Owen Hart.
So. And then we've got Double or Nothing coming out up at the end of the month, and kind of wanted something a kind of casino-y themed.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be talking about Fully Loaded 2000. In my opinion, maybe the best B-level pay-per-view ever.
Okay, wow.
Triple header, main event. You've got Rock, Benoit. You've got,
yeah,
Jericho, Triple H in Last Man Standing.
Right.
You've got Angle, Taker, I think. I think that's got the Val Venus Rikishi cage match. It's a good show. So
okay.
Going to be talking about WWE's kind of casino-themed pay-per-view to coincide with Double or Nothing coming up at the end of the month. But yeah, lots to look forward to on the Patreon. Only $5 a month. Patreon.com/upnext. Become a North American champion today.
Yeah, I mean, $5 and you get access to all the shows that we're going to be doing and putting out, not even this week, but this whole month. But it gives you access to everything that we've done. So all those best matches ever, all the retro pay-per-view reviews, was next, retro NXT, go check it out, because yeah, we have a lot of podcasts up there, and they're pretty sweet. Yeah. We've had a lot of fun and interacting with a lot of people as well. Follow us on Twitter at Up Next Podcast, and join us on that Facebook group if you use Facebook, because there's a page which links you to the group, and there's all sorts of fun stuff in there as well. But yeah, so much fun. Before we jump into NXT, I mean, something we also do on this show is we pour one out.
Got to pour a few out today, don't we?
I mean, a few days ago, but yeah, we got to pour a few out. We are a show that we watch NXT every week, and it seems like every week there's just less and less familiar faces. It's like when you go to work. I don't even know what it's like. What is this like when you just, every time we watch the show, it's just all of a sudden there's missing pieces to the puzzle slowly changing.
So yeah, this one's, so I'm getting up the list here. We've got some people we're less familiar with, like Raylan Devine, Myla Milani, Sanjana George, but then some names who we've become a bit familiar with over the last few months, like Draco Anthony. He was there for a cup of coffee, literally, wasn't he? Oh,
that's it. You can turn the show off now, guys. That's it. That ain't being tough.
But yeah, Draco Anthony gone. Harland, who we've noticed has been kind of missing the last few weeks, which is interesting considering Gacy's going for the world for the NXT title.
Yeah,
he's gone. Dexter Lumis and Persia Parada. Now this is the Dexter Lumis Indy Hartwell story's been going on for well over a year. On-screen husband, you've started this kind of tag team with Duke Hudson and Dexter. You've got Persia involved, who I think we saw a lot of promise in Persia as well.
100%.
Very, very odd.
Yeah, I mean, to unpack here, Persia is definitely someone I was like, whoa. And I'm pretty sure we've seen her on some indie stuff as well back in...
Aussie show.
Yeah, some indie stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Yeah, she has some promise. And I'm a little like, oh, okay. Because considering, I think they could have used her a bit better. And instead, they put her in these weird things. So that's odd. But then Dexter, yeah, that's a character that has been focused so much for the past year, and then just drop it.
We've been saying for so long, like, this is something that probably would work on the main roster, this character. Yeah. What I don't get is why not just write them out somehow?
Yeah.
Like, this week, creative clearly had a lot of plans for this team, and then it's written off by Indy just looking at her finger with no more ring on it, and Duke Hudson posing, and very odd.
Yeah, okay, so Dexter was supposed to be, like, they featured them, think back, like, all the way to The Way, when she finally, like, is courting him or whatever, the storyline there, and then they do the whole wedding, that was what, the first 2.0 was the big wedding, or sometime around then, and then to go through all this, and then just to do that, it's like, you couldn't have just done a...
Can you imagine, like, ending? You're watching Breaking Bad, and then one week you tune in, and Skyler's just not in it, and Walt's just looking at his ring. It's like, what? Yeah. Like, these have been sent, this is a running TV show. These have been central characters, like, and they're just gone like that. I understand things like the Nash Carter thing, when something like that happens, puts you in a bit of a predicament, but they control this, they can write this. And
really weird.
I mean, even if you release them, they've still got 30 days. They still have them work. Yeah. Write them out. Like, I don't know. It's bizarre.
You know, Dexter was someone I watched in, like, TNA Impact, and I was like, that's such a stupid character. They brought it here. I thought it was a stupid character. But for some strange reason, this got strange, because that's his gimmick. But, like, he made whatever it was always work. And he got real good at doing it, especially here. So... it is odd, because we were like, hey, why not just try it? He's been here. Yeah. He can do the matches. He knows how to wrestle. He's really good. Why not just try it and see if it would get over? But instead, he's just gone. Very odd. Yeah. Strange.
And Persia being from Australia, that's something like visa issues. It's not as easy as just, oh, well, she could go to Impact or whatever. There's a lot more for her to go through. So I think that's a real shame, because I think she's, I thought she had something. I quite liked her.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned some of the other ones. Going back to Parker or Harland, he was someone that had a lot of buzz just because of the way he looks. I mean, the guy is a unit, and there was Brock Lesnar like comparisons and stuff. They put him on TV and made him shave his head and made him completely not anything that the character that he is in real life. Cause whenever I look and see him online, he's posting photos with, or hanging out with like celebrities, like rappers. Like he seems to like have some cool connections or cool friends or something. Instead, they just made him this like silent guy. I don't know what the deal is there.
PC just wasn't showing enough.
Maybe. I don't know, but he was someone I was so interested to see actual wrestle, and I got to see him throw Brian Kendrick down some stairs and throw someone off a roof. But the interest is still a little like maybe he wasn't a good wrestler there or something. So I don't know what it was, but I was still like, oh, look, I mean, look at the size of him. He looks like he could be a huge pro wrestler and kill people and stuff. But I was a little shocked there, but I'm still wondering what the deal was.
I think it just shows how kind of furthering what Triple H said in that interview the other week.
Yeah.
It's like the process is going to be a lot quicker. Like you're going to bring people in. It's going to be a window of what, like 6 months. Are you cutting it or not? If you're not, we'll cut bait. We'll get in the next round of people and see what works, which means this show, the rotation of characters is going to be so quick. Just as someone who does watch every week, it would be nice to have some closure with some of this. It feels like, you know, when you're watching a Netflix series and then suddenly it's like, it's been cancelled. We're not doing a final season. And you're like, can you just wrap it up? Can we just get an episode where you write off, have, you know, like the PC is on fire and set off by Dexter Lumis. And unfortunately, Dakota Kai, Bivens, Draco Anthony, all of them are just in there. Wow. Write them off.
Yeah. Those are the two that, obviously we want to get to. Malcolm Bivens. I mean, what, Stokely?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this guy got some buzz on the indies way before his NXT days. The possibilities, I think, of this guy are endless. This seems to be,
he didn't renew his contract.
Right.
So he let his expire. He wanted to leave about a year ago, and then the Diamond Mine thing came up.
Okay.
So stuck around. Maybe he was like, am I going to main roster? Am I managing someone there? No. All right.
Well, the rumor was, I think it may have been Fightful that said that he turned down managing Omos.
Okay.
So if that has any merit, then like maybe he just wasn't about it, but he is someone we were saying he finally found, they put him with a bunch of guys. He was with Tyler Rust.
Yeah.
He was with a bunch of people. He finally had something that was working with the Diamond Mine. I think this guy will be on TV somewhere else real quick because he's such a good talker, and we didn't even get the real version of him on NXT.
Feel bad for Mark Sterling, but he'd be a much better fit with Jade and the Baddies, I think.
How amazing. That's
Smart Mark.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. When I read he's released, I'm like, whoa, like there's a whole thing there. Yeah, 100%. But anyone, he could make someone.
Yeah,
if someone can't talk, he could be their talker, like 100%. And if it's not AEW, he will be anywhere, 100%.
I think the AFO might become the HFO again. Is it Stokely Hathaway, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, the Hathaway family office.
Yeah. Wow.
Be fun.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot you can do there. Yeah. Just make him a lawyer too, or some, like, you know, give him his gimmick or whatever. I think it could work. He's too talented to not work. Yeah.
And then Dakota Kai, maybe the best NXT woman to never hold the championship.
100%.
Yeah.
Agree with that.
I think she let hers expire as well. Did she?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's someone, I think it's, AEW's very bloated, but I think when it comes to the women's division, it's not. And I think she would be someone great over there as well.
Yeah, really think they missed the boat with Dakota Kai. She was given this weird stuttering character, the just freaking out all the time. Way before that, she had some great storylines in NXT. I'm thinking of the Shayna Baszler stuff when that was happening. Like just as she became Dakota, changing her name from Evie, She's also said that it looks like she's going to have a new name going forward. Like Evie was the chapter. This was the chapter. So maybe something kind of different.
Like Ruby Soho did.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of change it a bit there. But honestly, yeah, I do see so much in Dakota Kai. And I thought she had some of the greatest matches on TV in NXT. And you said she wasn't put in a lot of these huge takeover matches. I don't, has she even had it? Yeah, she must have. She had a few.
Yeah, she had a few takeover matches.
But like, she put on some great TV matches and she never won the title, but think of all the times she challenged for the title.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definite pour.
And you just got to think, like, she had those, was it around like December time? She was doing the dark matches on like Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. And I imagine if they weren't interested with her there, she's like, why am I still here? She's been in NXT, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
She's been there a long, long time. So, yeah, interesting crop of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of them we will see popping up again elsewhere. I can't say I'm at the point anymore where I'm sad where I hear about these releases when you're like oh, man. Sometimes it's a bit head-scratching, like people you see potential in, where you go, oh, really? Them? But I think the scene and like the indies have been growing as well. Think of this WrestleMania weekend, so much more interesting this year than previous years, because you had like a Biff Busick who was available or whatever. And I think the world opening up again and all these indie promotions hopefully, you know, going to start thriving, it'll be cool to see some of these names floating around.
Think about it. WWE hoarded all this talent
exactly
all these years ago, and now things are kind of shifting again, and they're going for a completely different approach, it seems. They don't want to hire just all the hot talent and see. They're doing what they're doing in their system. So yeah, you are seeing a lot of different things popping up, which should lead me to something else. If any local, meaning Toronto area listeners, are interested, there is a lot of indie wrestling popping up. I just saw there was a Super Kick show, which looked like a lot of fun. However, a friend of mine is running a Lucha Palooza show from Demand Lucha. And again, any local Toronto area people, if you are interested in going to the show, well, I'm going to have a little contest or draw, if you will, to give away some tickets to this show. So let me know. DM me this week or at Up Next Podcast on Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is that you use. And let me know if you are in the area. I don't want to give the tickets away to people in Chicago who can't go. But if you are...
Chicago has enough wrestling.
Yeah, you don't need Lucha Palooza. But Gringo Loco's on this show, so you might want to come. And for some reason, Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, I think is going to be there. I'm not sure. I don't know what he has to do with Lucha, but maybe I'm going to learn. So I'm going to be going to the show as well. So that's May 26th, I believe, here in Toronto.
So just before Double or Nothing.
Yeah, it's that weekend. So, I mean, fun time. And I know, and for any Toronto listeners, again, I think the same guys, Demand Lucha, are doing free Lucha for Cinco de Mayo weekend this weekend at Stacked Market in Toronto.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm just, I'm super excited. Gringo Loco, I can't wait.
He'll be there?
No, he's not at this one on Friday. I think he's at the one on the...
The one you're giving tickets to?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
see, now you've got me interested in this competition. Gringo Loco?
I know you love him.
Yeah.
Kenny Powers.
Will Sylvester Laforte be there?
No. Sorry. But yeah, let me know, because I'm going to take all the local people who are interested in going, and then I'll do a little contest there. But I got to know who's interested, so let me know, because then I will be giving them away in the next few weeks. But yeah, Demand Lucha. I'm excited for pro wrestling. If we go to any of these things, we're going to Dynamite in June. Like, I'm just excited to go to these things. I love this stuff, man.
Yeah.
Love this stuff.
Yeah.
And I love watching NXT.
Shall we get into it?
I think so.
NXT, May 3rd, 2022. And guys, it's spring breaking.
Spring break.
Yeah.
Spring break.
We've been having on kind of these big specials, like talent kind of running down the show to start with. We've seen this a lot with like Toxic Attraction. Now Pretty Deadly have that role. So they're kind of just hyping up every match. I think they're on like sunbeds with their tag titles, just talking through everything. They are Toxic Attraction. They're the male Toxic Attraction now, apparently.
They've out Toxic Attraction.
Yeah.
These guys are now doing it better.
Yep. And we kick things off right away with a triple threat match for the North American Championship. Cameron Grimes defending the title against former champion Carmelo Hayes and Solo Sikoa. First of all, Solo Sikoa super over with this crowd. Loads of solo chants, loads of Uso chants, We the One poses, all that kind of stuff. Was definitely the fan favorite in this match here. And it starts off like mellow in between Sikoa and Grimes, and he's like, all right, who's gonna fight first? And Sikoa just clocks him in the face, and they start to double team mellow. And Grimes and Sikoa both go for a double super kick to mellow, but he bails to the outside. Sikoa and Grimes then start to trade some early pin attempts. And then there's this hip toss from Grimes to Mello, who lands into a Rana on Sikoa, which looked pretty cool. Mello hits his big springboard clothesline to Solo. And then as Grimes is draped across the second rope, Mello hits a guillotine leg drop across him.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. We've seen him do this. It's like he floats backwards and then drops down to leg drop you.
There's then the collision course from Grimes, but the cover is broken up by a senton from Solo. And then Mello mocks the We the One pose, just mocking Sikoa and the bloodline there. Mello then sets up for what looked like maybe a destroyer, but Grimes starts to counter it into like, it's the Kota Ibushi, like the hook leg pile driver thing.
Bastard driver.
The bastard driver. But Sikoa super kicks Grimes in the face, which counters this like into a destroyer.
Into like a code red.
Code red.
Yeah, yeah.
Look great. There's then this Tower of Doom spot in the corner with a huge superplex powerbomb. Grimes is then set up in the Tree of Woe with Mello sat underneath him in the corner, and Solo hits the Umaga hip attack in the corner.
Samoan bulldozer.
Squashing both of them. Solo then hits this crazy release German suplex to Grimes. There's a big Uranagi, or more like a rock bottom, to Mello, but Grimes just breaks it up. Grimes comes back with the Rana to both guys at the same time, followed by the poison Rana to Mello for a two count. Grimes goes up for the cave-in, but gets caught midair with a code breaker Grimes.
From Hayes.
From Hayes,
yeah.
Yes.
So in midair, he gets caught into this code breaker. This was clean, yeah.
And the pin is just broken up. Almost looked like a three there. Grimes then leaps off the top rope and eats a super kick from Solo. The Uso splash is hit from Solo, but Mello just breaks it up. And while this crowd was sure Sikoa had won the title then, there's chance of that was three. Really great near fall. And then Solo pops Mello up in a Samoan drop, but Grimes comes off the top rope with the cave-in onto Sikoa, sending Mello crashing as well, and Grimes retains the title by pinning Sikoa. But what I thought is a real highlight of 2.0, this match, to kick things off. Really good stuff between the three.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Grimes obviously been in NXT for quite a while, and then Hayes now already has become one of the top 2.0 guys for sure, if not probably my favorite ones to come out of this kind of thing. And then Solo seems like he was so just thrown on TV really quickly and now is in this level here. I thought all three guys put on a pretty good show. There was a lot of like three-way moves on each other, like counters and stuff like that. So some of those Ranas, like he would backflip him into the other one. There was like the release German. There was so many crazy stuff in between. I thought they worked really well. Solo Sikoa is just someone that's like becoming... Like
he
I said,
really held his own here.
You could have believed that he would win this.
I thought he was. Yeah. I kind of felt like it could be his time.
Yeah.
And the crowd were wanting to see it. I think because this, like the Bloodline story's been going pretty well on the main roster and people are into it, that people see this guy, see the talent he's got, and just kind of want him to kind of succeed and move up and join this story. But I thought he more than held his own here. It's interesting, the triple threat that I found. You watch some like old triple threat matches from like the mid-90s and they kind of don't really know how to work it, and they're all trying to be in the ring at the same time. Then it kind of got perfected where it's, all right, we take one guy out and they're out the ring for a bit and we wrestle and then they come in.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the recent triple threats we've watched, there isn't that much of that sleeping on the outside, and it is all three going at it all the time, and it's so exciting to watch. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, again, I know Hayes is good. I know Grimes is good. This proved, like, Solo. You yeah. fit in properly, and I love all the... Why not do the splash? Why not do the Umaga head, you know, the thing? Like, do, of course, it's your... That's what it works.
I do find with his hair, though, he looks like if young Dominic Mysterio was an Uso.
I mean, yeah, is this guy like it's eventually? The blondes. Is he gonna have to keep that now to stand out from being like not Jimmy and Jey Uso?
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh, you're gonna have to keep doing that.
That then, blonde, like, yeah.
Why not? Hey, you know what? It works. Do it. Why not? I thought this was a lot of fun, actually.
We then go to Mandy Rose, who is in a tanning bed when Wendy Chu... We're back to 2.0, guys.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Wow, we had a great wrestling match to start the show, and we're back.
Wendy Chu comes in dressed as a shark and turns the...
She's not lying. That's she's in a shark onesie, yes.
Turns the, like, the volume, the heating...
The volume.
...of this tanning bed up really high, and... I mean, this is, someone tweeted out to us, the real like Halloween 2 vibes here.
Does he not kill someone this way?
He, in the jacuzzi, isn't it? Or something, he turns something up like really hot and they...
Can you die if you burn? You're going to like...
stuck in there.
She's going to rotisserie.
This has been
her.
A thing in Bond as well, right? With the sauna. I think Sean Connery gets locked in a sauna with the, and someone turns the heating up.
It sounds like it's in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like it's a thing you see. Yeah.
So Wendy Chu's trying to murder Mandy Rose here. But Mandy eventually gets out and she's bright red. She sees Gigi and JC and they were like going to head to a tiki bar. But they're like, oh, actually, you look like a strawberry and we don't want to go with you. And they leave her and Mandy sees herself in the mirror and screams.
Oh.
Good stuff right here.
Yeah, she's a rose lobster here.
Yeah.
Just all red, looking like Ross from Friends, even more so. Just super
How many
red.
Times have you used
That's
that
the
reference?
Only one. I can't think of any other, like, what is when someone gets so burned? I feel, what was, I watched, during Christmas time, I watched some terrible Tim Allen holiday movie, but, like, shamelessly love it at the same time. And that he gets, like, super burned in that as well or something.
You in the Raptors parade.
Yeah, I got burned there. Worst burn ever when I just went to the beach in Australia one day and didn't wear a hat. I was like, I'm gonna work on some sun on my head. Worst idea I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
This was weird because these things are terrible. These segments of 2.0 where it's like, this doesn't help Toxic Attraction. This doesn't help Wendy Chu. I'm sure someone found them funny. I don't like
who? Like who? Who? Who is writing this? Like this woman who, like, a few months ago was a wizard.
She was Mei-Ying,
she's vaping in people's faces. Now she's dressed as a shark, giving people sunburns.
At the end of the, I'm gonna say right now, at the end of the day, Wendy Chu is going to have the greatest stories to tell people at parties. Like, hey, so at work today, one day I was a wizard, like you said, and now I'm doing this shit. Like, she's...
You know, I commend her commitment.
Exactly.
To it. Like, she does give it her all.
Wow.
She doesn't look embarrassed doing this shit, but it's just, who is the audience here?
Yeah.
Because in the same show, you've got wanking jokes.
That's to come later.
As you have a woman running around dressed as a shark. Like, this is very, like, six-year-old humor here. Why is this in the same show as, like, masturbation jokes?
Right.
And simulated violence as a sport? You know?
Preach.
Bizarre. Mackenzie Mitchell's backstage with Nathan Frazier, asking him how excited he is about his debut match. And he starts off by going, wow, Mandy does look like a strawberry. Well, Grayson Waller has a strong social media game, but I don't care about that right now. All I'm thinking about is the 10-year-old boy inside of me that is losing his mind that he's about to appear on NXT. I've been waiting for this moment my entire life. And yeah, just came across as a massive dork, really.
He said, this is like my birthday and Christmas rolled into one.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. All right.
This is Bailey.
I hope it doesn't go that route. I think he's great, but not the promo was not.
Yeah, didn't make this guy look cool at all, yeah. Which is a shame because we've seen his wrestling, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't think this was a good interview or a good way to go with this guy.
Yeah.
I get he's young, but I don't think he looks crazy young. You know, like you look at a Cora sure. Jade and she does look very young on that roster. I don't think this guy looks like out of place young to be playing this like kid.
Yeah, he seems like he would be cooler than the way he came yeah. across on the show.
For sure. He was trained by Seth Rollins, so. We see the Creed brothers who are training. Obviously, no Malcolm Bivens. It's kind of been alluded to that he just got fired by.
So they're training. He's not there. And Roddy walks in and he's like, okay, so I'm the leader of Diamond Mine. I'm the leader of
Diamond Mine.
So that also answers, hey, Roddy still here too. We didn't really talk about that, but.
Yeah, Roderick Strong, who requested his release, but is too valuable to WWE. Him and Mustafa Ali, they're like, no, we just need you guys here. We can't have you go.
Well, he's on TV here still.
He is. Creed Brothers are training with each other. And Roddy says, I know you say you're ready, but I need you to show me you're ready. And they say, we're in the zone. He goes, well, look, I don't want a repeat of what happened in that gauntlet match. And Roddy then like gets them all together around. There are some looks exchanged because obviously the Creeds are still kind of mad that he keeps on poking at this gauntlet match where yeah. they killed it. And he's like, gather round. I'm the leader of Diamond Mine and what I say goes. They go, oh, okay, Roddy, we'll remember that. We will all think about that.
They're like, we will.
And yeah, Creed Brothers look very like
they look at
done with yeah, Roddy.
They look at each other like, we don't have Bivens, but do we got to listen to this guy?
Yeah.
Diamond Mine was something I think was working, but then I guess WWE is like, okay, well, the best part of it are the Creed brothers. They're the ones, the focus. So let's just do that.
Yeah.
I guess with Bivens finally.
And Ivy's been popular as well.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like we're heading to a breakup with these guys.
Maybe.
We then see Indy Hartwell backstage, who's just looking at her ring finger, no more ring on it. Duke Hudson walks in, he's puffing his chest, and he looks sad as well, and then looks and kind of leans in for a kiss. She goes, oh, hell no! And he's like, oh, I wasn't going to do anything anyway. So, I guess we're going to have these two paired up.
That's how you write off this guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it. You wrote off Dexter Lumis, after all this stuff, after everything. No thumbs up, no him, not even, you could have... I'm not saying do the guy dirty and be like, wow, Dexter left me. Like, you could have done that.
It's this weird thing where they can't even say their names after they're gone.
So weird.
It's like there's no mention of Bivin. It's you have these people under contract for another 30 days. They're still employed by you until that 30 days are up, essentially.
I don't know.
And you can't even just say, I can't believe my best friend, after all these years, ran away with my husband, or something like that. And you go, all right,
It's very weird. You could have done something. Honestly, why not let him just have a match? Loser leaves town, done. He's gone.
Yeah.
Literally, like, that's what they used to do.
Yeah.
Why not? You just
very odd.
Just weird.
I keep seeing that tweet going around of, you know, Poochie from The Simpsons, Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie, where it's just suddenly, like... Dexter Lumis left to go back to his home planet. Like, that's the write-off.
Yeah, to go murder people because he's a serial killer. I'm sure he'll be fine. I think there's a spot for him. Again, I think after watching him for so long, he grew on me and he kind of knew what he's doing. And he protects his gimmick, man. And you see his tweet or whatever to him, the news of him being released.
Was it a drawing?
It was a drawing. It was like a painting or something of Vince McMahon and his T-Rex skull. It's beautiful. So, yeah, hats off to the guy. I kind of want to... If this guy comes on the indie scene, imagine he goes to an indie show and from when, like, the thing starts to, like, even meeting the fans, autographs or whatever, he just doesn't talk.
Yeah. He should keep in gimmick. He's great at it.
Yeah.
Dexter Lumis Gringo Loco. There we go.
Samuel Shaw, I guess, is what he's going by again. Yeah, Samuel Shaw, Gringo Loco. That's a dream match. Samuel Shaw. Who else are, like, murderers in wrestling right now. Wendy Chu.
They're all in control your narrative, aren't they?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I hope he doesn't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see him going
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I see him going there. Fuck. Damn. All right.
Yeah. Well, let's go to our next match. Grayson Waller versus Nathan Fraser. Grayson Waller comes out and he kind of hugs and high fives. MTV, the challenge is Mark Long. You know Mark Long.
Who?
He's from The Challenge on MTV.
I didn't know that was still a show.
Celebrities in the house.
Vic but. Joseph says, wow, all the celebrities here at NXT 2.0.
Oh, yeah. You so, know it.
What?
Got AJ Galante again later. Yeah.
Wow. What even is MTV The Challenge? I remember that like no years idea. Ago. Is that like Big Brother House Challenge? I guess it's a big challenge.
Yeah. Wow. Fraser comes out. I liked kind of his video for his entrance because they have the screens going all around the CWC and it was like this bolt of lightning, like mm-hmm. a race car, like whizzed round onto right. the Titantron, looked kind of cool. His song was a bit odd, though.
Yeah, it didn't necessarily hit, but
yeah,
it could be worse.
There are some drop kicks and headlock takedowns from Fraser early on. They then fall to the outside. They're slugging it out outside the ring. We see that Andre Chase with Chase U are watching and cheering on Nathan Fraser. Fraser then does like the pack, like handsprings into the corner and then starts delivering these chops to Waller. Fraser goes for a springboard, but gets pushed off and lands on his throat on the top rope there. Waller then slides onto the ring, delivers a clothesline to the floor, and then what a heel, picks up a beach ball and just rips it in half.
Because it's spring break.
Shades of Cesaro.
Because they have like some boogie boards and some beach balls and chairs at the front entrance there. But yeah.
Waller then hits a leg lariat followed by slam and starts to mock the Seth Rollins burn it down stomp in the corner as Fraser was one of his students. But Fraser fires back, sends Waller to the outside, hits his impressive looking tope suicida. This is where I noticed Fraser's shoulder was all kind of bruised and purple. So I don't know if he hurt it during this match. He goes for the Phoenix splash, but Waller moves and then hits this kind of like flip into the unprettier almost.
Like, yeah, it's like a bulldog unprettier.
Yeah, looked kind of cool.
It was okay, yeah.
There's then a straight right hand from Waller. They're fighting on the top and Fraser goes for the avalanche Spanish fly, but Waller pushes him off onto the top rope. And then it looks like Waller's thinking of maybe doing the like elbow drop to the floor, but Andre Chase blows the air horn, which distracts him, causing him to fall off the ropes, allowing Fraser to hit the Phoenix splash. He's got a nice Phoenix splash, actually. It had a lot of speed to it. Nathan Fraser pins Grayson Waller, winning his debut match in NXT.
Yeah. What a hokey finish. Mm. I mean, no, I am not even that high on Waller, but this looks so stupid.
Yeah.
And just because the guy's like, it wasn't in his face. It wasn't in his ear. He's not even that close to him, really. But yeah, distracts him enough to not only just fall backwards, but to balance and do the and then go whoops and like hit his face off the ropes. It was weird. It had some cool stuff and it kind of showcased some of Waller because he did show some cool like new moves, but then Fraser obviously the kind of wanting to be the highlight here with very fast technical stuff. I mean, you say he's pretty young. I mean, he's moves so fast, so definitely interested in seeing what this kid can do for sure. But the Phoenix Splash looked awesome, but the takeaway didn't help Fraser because he didn't even win clean.
Yeah, like the end was so silly and unnecessary. You could have just had Fraser win this.
Yeah.
Also, I like didn't think it was bad, but I would have said I was way more impressed by that match on Dark that kind of got everyone's attention.
Yes, for sure.
On Ben Carter. I didn't think the flashy stuff he was doing was necessarily anything new. That it stood out, like there wasn't anything really showed that we like didn't see in that triple threat earlier or anything like that.
The Phoenix Splash is cool.
Phoenix Splash looks great, but I don't know. I feel that first time we saw him, it was like, wow, this kid's impressive. And I thought he looked good, but didn't like stand out here.
Sure, I agree.
We get a video package for Fallon Henley, who's going to be entering the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. And she says, look, you all know I love to get rowdy with Briggs and Jensen, but you know what I love more? Horses.
Oh, no.
And when my family sold the ranch, I got to keep my horse, Luna. I think her name's Luna.
Nice.
And, well, Fallon says that she's hell on wheels. She loves horses.
She's a horse girl.
She's a horse
girl. I don't know. You know, horse girls? Is it, that's a thing. Yeah. Horse girls who love horses? They're usually insane. I'm not offending any horse people. I'm sorry, but that's what the internet always tells me. It's like, oh well, if they have horses, don't stay away from them.
Yeah.
She even says here, small town girl.
Yeah.
She's literally like, I'm a small. I could be down with this gimmick.
I like Fallon. I've enjoyed her, and I've actually I've enjoyed the like Briggs and Jensen act more since she's joined them.
Agreed.
And I think she. She naturally has like quite a lot of personality.
Easily memorable comparing to like when you get introduced in these kinds of
absolutely.
Things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's very likable. I think she's a very natural baby face. It's just funny. Like you've got, it's, as we said, we had an excellent first match, and then we've got shark murderers, air horn falling off ropes, and I love Briggs and Jensen, but I love horses more.
Yeah. I mean, we have our Cowboys gimmicks all over. We've had Stan Hansen. We've had JBL, Hangman Page. We need more cowgirls.
We do need more cowgirls.
Cowgirls. Yeah. So why not? You know what? I'm kind of for Fallon. I think there's something there.
I've enjoyed her wrestling as well. So I kind of hope she goes quite far in this. She's one of the personalities we've seen more of. So
I love that. I don't know if this has any merit. It's wrestling. It's kayfabe. This could easily be like a silly line they wrote, but they were particular of her saying it. She said, my family sold the ranch and that's when we got the bar. Cause remember gimmick is she's the bartender. So like, I don't know if that was like, wait, are you telling me your parents actually own a bar? Cause that would be cool. You could have even shown that in this video, but
I mean, the next segment should have been at her bar. That we're going to go into.
Like you're telling me Lash Legend gets a TV show that doesn't really air anymore. Like it seems that gimmick's kind of changed. Why not have like the bar like segment, like APA used to do?
We should have like more like, yeah, like this is, you know, you watch like a soap opera and you've got the pub. Like I'm thinking Corrie.
Coronation
you've got
Street,
like the pub, you've got the laundrette, you've got the factory, you've got the news agents, you've got the butcher shop. And then you got all their houses. That's how NXT should be. You've got the barber shop where like Mello hangs out.
Right.
You've got Fallon's bar.
This is like The Sims.
Yeah. You've got the restaurant where Zoe Stark throws fish everywhere.
Actually, is the same restaurant we'll talk about later.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see more of this landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm for it too. Definitely. I like to see the world, you know, it's world wrestling entertainment.
It should be like world building.
You don't need to cut promos backstage all the time. Wouldn't you be like camera crew, come to my house. I'm going on my horse and my ranch. I'm going to cut a promo. Like do more of that. Yeah. There needs to be more of that, but the bar would be a good setting.
I think
of any sitcom. There's always like a hangout place, like a bar or whatever. It's like, could do it there. Just don't give her a laugh track like Lash Legend.
No. Well, we go to the meeting between the two families, La Familia and the family. Tony D'Angelo with AJ Galante and Stax.
Two
and
Stax? What is it?
Two dice? Two dice and Stax. meeting with Legado del Fantasma.
Tony D walks in and LDF are like, yo, you're late. And he's like, yeah, sorry. Calm down. Does he call him Jacqueline? He calls Joaquin Jacqueline, I think. I don't know. And he's like, hey. This is ridiculous. Throw all your serious tone. Just shake it off for a sec and then take in this segment.
So Santos says that Galante doesn't belong here. And What did Tony say he's his
advisor. Galante is part of the family. He's the guy who guides him.
I was trying to... What's the Italian word he used? Like, began with C. Frank, Sino, help.
Yeah.
So Tony says, look, I called this meeting because I want to settle something before it escalates to somewhere we don't want to get. And tonight we're going to settle things like businessmen. And Santo says, look, I respect how you carry yourself, but I don't respect you as a businessman. And everyone trusts Santos Escobar, but I don't see that trust with you. And Tony's like, look, he goes, Tony, you play these games. You're doing the fish on the windshield. It's all very low class. And who are these two goons behind you and stacks and cash? Look like, hey, what do you say? Oh, don't call us goons. And Tony explains, look, games are fun. My mate Stax here fucking loves games. He loves playing dice. And
he loves playing cards. He loves playing poker. He loves playing Yahtzee. Is that a game that gangsters play? Yahtzee?
Dice, yeah.
Dice, yeah. But is that what maybe he's saying that. All right. I love Yahtzee.
Yahtzee's good. Been a while. Santos says that he's adding to an ever-growing empire and maybe they could come back together. So follow my lead. And Tony's offended by this. It's, what do you mean follow my lead? And he calls him crazy. And Santos goes, look, I think we should have a truce. And Tony apologizes for his hot-headedness. And Santos is like, you know, I'm sorry for not seeing where you were coming from with all this as well. So they agree that peace is what is best for the business. And they drink and they have a toast. So they've had a truce. And the music that is just playing behind them just swells. And it seems like there's a bit of a peace agreement between these two gangs. What the fuck?
Tell your friends when they say, oh, you watch pro wrestling? What's that all about? I don't know. Well, there's this lucha gang here with Santos,
Joaquin Wilde, Elektra.
And then there's the Italian mafia that are feuding. And some of them are wrestlers, and sometimes they fight, but they're feuding, and they're doing it. It's like, I don't hate it. I'm like, okay. I mean, it's going to lead
to
the...
It's just so ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
And that's where I...
Also, the music didn't fit it. That music did not... That wasn't like...
It didn't sound like... wasn't Godfather-esque,
no,
was it?
It needed to be the mandolin, whatever they used there. But it was a little weird. I think they could have gone a bit more into it, over the top. I think you could have done quotes of... You know, he didn't even say, we have an offer for you or making you a deal or anything like that. It was like, well, there's got to be enough pie for the both of us. That was pretty much it. Yeah, it's really weird. I love gangster movies. I love wrestling. But when I love horror movies, I love wrestling. But when they come together sometimes,
well,
it's not.
I think this is where I kind of look at the show sometimes and just be like, these are all just insane people. they're not gangsters. Some guy called Tony.
Yeah.
And his mates.
Yeah.
It's like they haven't killed anyone. They don't have any businesses, but it's just like, just let them think. Just don't ruin the... It's Shutter Island, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let
them think that they're these people. Yeah.
Yeah. You just got to accept the ridiculousness of it.
It's so bad and it's so great.
I think Santos was actually very good here. I find him way more believable.
Yeah.
It's all ridiculous, but Tony's a lot more cartoony. Even his goons just don't look like he just found them at the PC, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas Legado does feel more like a family.
Yeah, maybe the goons are like become fodder. I'm still waiting for Fabian, which we might get to. But yeah, the peace offering between the two families, the two gangs here, very funny, very stupid. I tune in for wrestling and I'm getting, you know, it is funny that they do flash the restaurant. It's the same restaurant they went for like so many of these things. They must have a deal with this. I think it's Fresca. I think it's called.
Right.
Not like the soda. Like, yeah.
But again, wouldn't it have been so much, just go to Fallon's bar? Like Fallon's the one serving them.
Yeah.
Like, come on, world building, guys.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. We now go to some Vikings.
Was the word concierge? No, that's like what we have downstairs in our condo.
It was something like concierge, but it wasn't concierge.
I don't know, man. Someone in the chat was explaining.
Consigliere.
Wow.
There we go.
Bravo.
Yeah. The Viking Raiders are being interviewed, and they say that no doubt that the Creed brothers are world-class athletes, but nothing compares to the war that they will be in. And it's time to prepare the battlefield because the raid is here. And Pretty Deadly interrupt by going, raid, raid, raid. They say they can't wait to see the Viking Raiders. And after tonight, the Creeds will be damaged goods for them to pick up the pieces. And while the Raiders say, you interrupt us again and we'll change who's damaged goods. So Pretty Deadly kind of back up here. And yeah, the Raiders say, like, look, we came with one goal in mind to beat the Creeds, but we could change our mind and go for you too. So Pretty Deadly kind of run away here.
Yeah, they don't want that smoke. Mm. They're like, oh, you know what? Actually, we're just never. We shouldn't have ran our mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry. Should we get out of here? Yes, boys.
We then have a little thing with Joe Gacy, who says change can be intimidating, but don't be frightened by change because change helps improve the world. I am the change. And tonight we are on the precipice of a new beginning, and you should be afraid of what happens if I don't win the NXT championship. Tonight I change the world.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. What is it, Charlie Brown? The adults, you can't understand what they're saying.
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
That's this guy, yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, he'll be more like Bray Wyatt by the end of the night.
Oh, yeah. We go to this very anticipated tag match.
Yeah.
Been
waiting all week.
Nikita Lyons and Cora Jade teaming up to take on Natalya and Lash Legend. The two legends.
The boat legend.
Yeah. Cora comes down on a skateboard a little bit more than usual.
Would 1.8 seconds count as little more than usual?
It was still a little more than usual.
Wow.
Yeah. She's getting there. Match starts. Cora goes for a high knee in the corner to Legend, but gets caught and backed into the corner, allowing Natalya to tag in. These two start trading some pin attempts. Lyons and then Natty both go at it and kind of try to outdo each other. They do a little bit of kind of chain wrestling here with wrist locks, and Lyons handsprings out of one, and then Natalya does the same.
Hey, again, I know Nikita's pretty new to this game, and obviously Natty, kind of a legend, you know, I guess you could say, in WWE women's wrestling here. And we're going back and forth, and I thought this was probably the best part of this match was when it showed both of them are... I was pretty impressed by Nikita doing this, and then when Natty did it, I was like, whoa, I haven't seen Natty kind of bring it out as much, but it was looking good.
Mm. Legend then clotheslines Lyons to the floor, and she's kind of selling her arm as we go into the commercial break. After the break, Natalya has Cora in a backbreaker and...
Canadian backbreaker.
Yeah, like the torture rack almost.
Yeah, it's like you have them up over this way and you bend them this way. Canadian backbreaker from the Canadian.
And it's just Natalya and Lash beating down on Cora for a long time. Cora eventually makes the tag to Lyons, who hits Natty with her kicking combo. There's a running blockbuster from Lyons. And then Natalya goes to break up the pin, but accidentally drop kicks Legend in the face. This allows Lyons to hit a release German suplex, followed by the split leg drop. And then Cora comes off the top with the senton to pick up the win.
I thought the finish looked really weak. I don't think that leg drop looks like it hurts. It just looks like you fall a bit. And then Cora, I think, is too small for the senton. And then, like, there's no impact. I don't know if there was, like, because there wasn't much of a sell to it or something. But I was kind of like, oh, I know that's your finishing moves, but, oh, all right. But other than that, there was some good stuff in this. I think Natty coming down and working with a lot of the new talent is such a good idea. They should do that more often with other wrestlers as well. It didn't kind of get up to the legendary status, the boat status I thought it was going to get to, but it still had some stuff.
And especially where these, like, Legend and Lyons especially, like, where they are, I thought this was pretty good. This actually kind of reminded me about the Divas tag match we talk about on What's Next this week. Like, you see, like, promise.
Bayley and Charlotte. Bayley and Charlotte
versus Alicia Fox and Exana.
Yep, good stuff.
Yep. No, I didn't mind this. I think the women here are improving every week.
And I love Nikita doing the blockbuster.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like a blockbuster.
She's got the stuff.
Yeah. Well, Oni's gone now, so she can take it.
Yeah.
We see Tatum Paxley, who's going to be in the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. And she says, look, I love Briggs and Jensen, but you know what I really like? Powerlifting.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she says.
She loves powerlifting because it's just you and the weight. And she says, no matter how much weight is on the bar, I know I can pick it up.
I think we've seen her kind of try to be in the diamond mine kind of thing,
she's
right?
She's had the thing with Ivy.
And it makes sense. She's got this like look that she looks like she's could be rough around the edges. She's got these like crazy eyes, meaning crazy like they're like
intense,
like beautiful almost. Right. Like I've never seen eyes like that. They like sparkle and like stand out really strong. So she definitely has like this look that I would say helps her stand out. And the gimmick here is that she's the power lifter. I think you could move that from powerlifting into just being like maybe more so a fighter. I guess that's why the diamond mine like actually works there. But from what I've seen, like,
but we like if you're doing this, we really need to see her like do some Cesaro like strength stuff.
True. Okay.
You know, I'm trying to think who's a big.
Wasn't it Lash Legend who's been lifting like? Someone's been breaking some records.
In the PC?
Yeah. I forget who it was. But yeah, if you're going to go with that gimmick, then like powerlift. Like, I guess, yeah. She's not also not the biggest. So if your gimmick's the powerlifting, can you lift people? Can you do that?
That's what I mean. Like, she'll need to. Gorilla press? Naya's not there, but that's what you need. If you're going to have like this character there who's a powerlifter, you need her to do some like, you know, AA to the Big Show kind of
torture
thing.
Torture racks on people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was, at least it's something.
But I've liked what we've seen of Tatum so far. Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward for this tournament to start and actually showcase some of these new women a bit more. We see JC and Gigi who are on the beach.
Here's the real main event, guys.
They're talking about how everyone's obsessed with them. And while we see Wendy Chu and Roxanne Perez are spying on them, got their binoculars out. Wendy's still dressed like a shark. Gigi and JC then go for a bit of a swim. And, well, Wendy goes up and steals their shoes and their keys. And then they're like, here, come and get this. But it means Gigi and JC have to walk barefoot across the hot sand and
the
hot
floor. Is lava.
Yeah. That does suck, you know, when you go, like, to a...
Yeah.
Like a swimming resort or whatever. And
the beach, hot sand, man.
Hot sand, it burns
for sure. But like.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
In my wrestling.
So.
This was terrible. Like, this whole toxic attraction thing just.
Wendy
just needs to kill him off for good.
Wendy, so she steals her car. They stole the keys.
It was more like she just made them walk. I think she gave the keys back, but it was more like, come and get them, knowing because she's got their shoes that they'd hurt their feet. So she's just burning them all.
Like, this is the ultimate 2.0 thing here.
Yeah.
It has the thirstiness of 2.0. What is the segment? Oh, it's Gigi and JC taking their shirts off while they're in their bikinis in the beach now. And then, okay, insert the sleepy girl gimmicks who's now in shark onesie with Roxanne Perez, who are now like, it's like in the movies when people run and they steal their clothes and people are like skinny dipping, but it's like, okay, we're gonna steal their car keys and their shoes, and then it's hot sand and then it's like and then
I just don't know who it's for.
Yeah, it's like you're having these girls in bikinis, but the humor is like aimed at like kids, it seems.
Six-year-olds.
So it's like, what? And it's just very odd because Ember Moon did an interview
with
Athena just recently, and that's what she says in that. So I'm not like,
she basically said they told them all to start dressing like Mandy Rose, and she said nothing wrong with Mandy Rose, like,
yeah,
she's great, but like, we're not all like that.
Like, the 2.0 is meme worthy because the internet, yeah, they'll go super thirsty over bikini segments and beach stuff. But then you also get like just ridiculous visuals of like the shark onesie and binoculars. Like it's an episode of Baywatch or something. Like it's so over the top.
It's so much of that stuff though, which it's like, if someone were to sit and watch it with me,
I'd hate it.
Embarrassed.
I am.
And, but then there's good stuff. Like I thought this week actually had some really good wrestling on it. And it's just head scratching this stuff.
This is up there for one of the worst ones they've done.
I think so.
And we just keep saying that every time we watch these things. So, yeah. And you know what? Like we said, Wendy Chu was Mei Ying. She was vaping. She was the demon lady with Boa. And now she's resorted. Like this poor girl just gets thrown these weird.
Has Boa gone? Was he released?
I feel like that was like time ago, but just in case, pour one out.
I genuinely can't keep up anymore.
Yeah.
Is Boa still there?
I think he's gone.
Boa released.
I think he's gone.
Okay. All right.
Is he? Now you have to fact check me. We need to know now. The people need to know. Has Boa? I feel like we talked about it like time ago.
I typed in Boa released NXT. And
you never know these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Well, his demon was released.
Yeah.
Because he was demonized or whatever. Yeah, it's just weird. Wendy Chu, I think, is so much above this thing. I was on Twitter while this happened, and I saw Sasha Banks just tweeted no, no, no after this segment. And I was like, oh, is she watching this? And then she tweeted right away after that, give me the keys. So I was like, is she talking about Wendy Chu in the Toxic Attraction segment? So was she watching this? And maybe she loved it, or maybe she hated it.
I can imagine she didn't love it.
Yeah.
Maybe give me the keys to the show. Let me write this shit for these women.
Yeah.
Give them something good to do.
Yeah. JC and Gigi and the whole Toxic Attraction thing doesn't work. And it's weird because I do think that the three of them could probably create something a bit better. But they keep it, all it is like, ooh, here they are. Like on screen, look at how hot they are.
I don't think it's even helped any of them.
No.
You know? Like, I feel like at least Diamond Mine, like, that's raised all of them up, I think. Whereas Toxic Attraction, sure, they're on TV a lot, but I don't think it's really improved their popularity or their wrestling, even, or their mic skills or any of it. It's just all bad.
But they know how to take their shirts off and go into the beach and then walk on hot sand and act like it's fire.
I mean, hey, that's more than I can do.
Hey, I think they could do better than that. Yeah. I think they actually are better. I especially Gigi. Been a fan of Gigi, and I'm like, you were doing you were so innovative and creative on the indies, and here you're just doing this. It's a little weird, but hey, there's always time to turn it around and whatever. But there's still the champs, which is the thing. It's like you're the champ. You should be the program should be working.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's get some good stuff.
Yeah.
Creed Brothers versus Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders hit the Viking Experience right away to Julius, but Julius kicks out. Brutus then comes in and starts. He does these like double clubbing like hammers with his fists.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him do it before, but this he was just like cracking Eric on the head here. Looked great. Then starts delivering a few gut-wrench suplexes. Ivar hits a splash to Julius on the floor. And then Brutus hits the assisted release powerbomb. There's a knee from Eric to the back of Brutus's head for a two count. Then Ivar slams Julius down and hits a tiger driver for a two count. Ivar then powerbombs Eric on top of Julius, which, like, these guys are huge.
He's lifting his own buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know them as
Ivar. Powerbombs Eric,
Steve and Ivar.
Yeah.
Steve and Eric, Tim and Eric, they powerbomb the one guy onto the other one, like crushing these guys. Very impressive spot, yeah.
There's then a splash from Ivar to Brutus for a two count. Julius tags in and Ivar sits on him, does that kind of corner stomp, sit down thing, which always looks great. Julius then, while Ivar climbs the top rope, Julius just leaps up like a cat.
Wow.
And hits this superplex. Looked awesome. And then goes for his big, like, finishing lariat, but Ivar ducks it and comes back with a huge spin kick, which, again, for the big guy, we've seen these guys do this before, but it's always so impressive, the size of them hitting these moves. There's then an assisted guillotine leg drop from Viking Raiders to Julius.
This is their finisher, no? The
one of them, yeah.
The raid or one of the things, yeah.
And Brutus just breaks it up. Julius then hits his, like, Olympic-style wrestling takedown. Brutus takes out Ivar. There's then a big knee from Eric to the face. And out of nowhere, Roderick Strong flies in on the outside with a knee to the side of Eric's head. The timing here was great. And the way it was shot, like, Roddy just flew out of nowhere in a hood and just disappeared. And that allowed Julius to hit that big lariat for the win. Creeds are celebrating. And then as it shows the replay, they see what Roddy did. And, well, it looks like they're not too happy with him because they wanted to do it on their own. But this match was great.
Yeah, this was easily my match of the night for this show. This was awesome. I think easily the best match since 2.0 for me. The Creeds have been the attraction for me for this whole show. They're like a project I think WWE are going to go forward with. Like, put all your money in stock into Creed Bros, because this was great. I love the Viking Raiders, War Machine. I think we mentioned last week that we were kind of excited for this match, and I think it delivered because it had everything. Those guys, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown. I don't know what they're on now. All I remember, like I said, they played basketball that one time, and that was it. I was like, man, you used to be great. You were awesome. And I got to see it here. I thought the two teams clicked really well. They were given some time as well.
That's something I felt with this show. With both this and the Triple Threat, I didn't feel shortchanged with either. Yeah. I thought both had a really good amount of time. And really, like, there's all the silly shit, but I got two really good matches on this show. So I was kind of happy with this. And this was, like, Creed Brothers just stepping it up again. Like, look completely comfortable in there with Viking Raiders, who are really experienced team.
Yeah, super experienced. I mean, they must have to have helped these guys working with these guys. But I thought they clicked so well. I'm a huge fan of Eric. Fuck, which one's the bald one?
Eric.
Yeah, so stupid. That's his name. But he has, like, one of the best, like, the knee strikes, the V-triggers. He does it, like, probably one of the best. And to have that as the finish where he delivers it, and then he turns around and gets the, again, out of nowhere knee from Roddy. And then it has a screwy finish that actually works and actually looks good. And actually now develops the story of, whoa, I thought for a second they were okay with Roddy doing that. But it turns out they're like, whoa, we didn't allow
it. I'm interested in their story as well.
But yeah, honestly, probably one of my favorite TV matches this year. I don't know if there'll be a better TV NXT match than this year, but this sets the bar high. This was awesome for sure. They need to run it back.
Yeah, I'd like to see it again.
But absolutely. The Creed's they're legit. Delivered. Yeah.
They'd be the ones that if there was another release and these guys were gone, I'd be like, really?
No, what absolutely not.
Because these guys are so much money.
No.
And I love them. They're highlights every week.
And I love the Viking Raiders. I used to love them on the indies and stuff. And I was cool to kind of see them have another sweet match.
Yeah.
But yeah, I if you listen, I don't like NXT 2.0 all that much. But I was jumping out my seat for this one. Banger.
We see AJ Galante, who says goodbye to Tony D'Angelo when Santos Escobar approaches him and knees him in the gut and throws him into a car. Legado kidnap again. They just needed to wear the lucha masks, all of them.
That would have been funny.
To kidnap. Yeah. But could it be, like, I mean, what we saw last time was, you know, Santos kidnapped Raul.
Yeah.
And kidnapped Joaquin.
Yeah.
And while it was fake and they were in on it all the time, is that what this is here? Is AJ Galante actually part of Legado?
Right before he knees him in the balls, he's like, hey, he clearly, you know, Tony needs you. You're a good guider. You know, maybe you could guide us.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's great. I can't believe I'm so happy that I saw a kidnapping on TV tonight. But it makes sense because, if you know, you've been listening, they used to do this. That was the storyline all those times ago. So, wow, good throwback, good callback to these guys pulling up. They're experienced kidnappers here. They pulled up and they were in and out. This was real quick, inside job. Good stuff. You're thinking it's an inside job.
Maybe.
I don't think so. That would be smooth.
They'll turn Galante.
It would be smooth to do the callback to the OG kidnapping angles that they did, but I just don't know if that worked because he seems like he was pretty close with TD.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, this means that there's actually no peace. Because
no peace. They've already broken this truce.
Yeah, so there's already the whole segment before didn't...
For nothing. We go to Briggs and Jensen. Jensen was attacked last week and he's got an injured hand. And he's seeing a doctor who says, you know, it should be good in about 10 to 12 weeks. But because you've got so much muscle built up around it, you should be done quicker. Hey, why is your right hand stronger than your left?
And then Jensen is like, I don't know.
And says, well, it should be better in 6 to 8 weeks. And I was there questioning. So you telling me Jensen has waited a week after breaking his hand
to get it checked out
by a doctor
on TV?
Yeah.
You just needed a flash last week.
Last week.
But instead they're like, you're getting checked now on TV a week. Yeah. He's just been waiting, like hoping that it isn't broken.
So wanking jokes on NXT. So this show has everything.
Yeah, it really does. It has good wrestling, good graps. There was Vikings. There was
kidnaps, attempted murders.
The beach.
Yeah.
Sharks. And druids.
Yeah.
It has every fire. You skipped over the vignette for Alba Fire as well.
Alba Fire.
You had everything on this
show. Former Kaylee Ray. She likes fire now.
Yeah. So Briggs and Jensen. Jensen clearly does the deed a lot.
Yeah.
I'm out. That's what he said.
Because he's not getting his dates, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, now he could, like, if he gets a cast, he could get, like, oh, you want to sign my cast? And, like, that's your in.
Could be, yeah.
Right?
True.
Yeah.
I'll have to learn how to be left-handed, though, wouldn't you?
He's not ambidextrous.
No. We go to our main event of the evening. Joe Gacy challenging Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship. Gacy makes his entrance, and then as he gets into the ring, it kind of flicks from color to black and white.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like on his face.
Yeah. And then we go backstage to see Bron by a lever that says on and off.
Think like Simpsons, think Bugs Bunny, the big electrical box on off switch.
So he moves it to on and the color comes back
up. Ah, he's like the Wizard of Oz.
This would have been cooler if Gacy's entrance was always in black and white.
Yeah.
Or even tonight if his whole entrance was in black and white.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're always giving Bron something. At least he wasn't breaking stuff today.
He was fixing stuff.
He was fixing stuff.
Bron fixer.
So Bron comes out wearing this pink singlet, and this was pretty cool.
Yeah. We did a best match ever, Steiner Brothers, just a little while ago, just because of the whole Steiner's Hall of Fame and Bron Breakker and everything. And I think we watched a match where they were wearing this gear. So I actually recognized it. It's Rick Steiner's gear. Vic Joseph says that Bron is wearing the same tights that Rick Steiner wore on the first episode of Monday Night Raw in 1993.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And
he looked great in it.
Yeah. I mean, it could actually be those ones. It could be just a remodel of it or retail it or whatever. But yeah, these look like the same tights. They're awesome.
So the match starts and it's all Breakker with kind of Gacy just backing up the whole time. Gacy knocks Breakker off the apron and Breakker just goes rolling up the ramp like he's Neymar here. Just rolling.
Who's Neymar?
He's a Brazilian footballer who gets knocked over and rolls halfway down the pitch. That's what he looked like here. Gacy does his kind of Baron Corbin-esque sweep through the bottom rope clothesline. Not quite as good as old Corbs. There's then a big Uranagi from Gacy, and that's when we notice that there are druids watching in the audience. Bron hits the second rope bulldog like his dad Rick.
This is pretty... He hits that pretty cool, yeah.
Hits a Frankensteiner and then kind of hit a belly-to-belly suplex.
Vic Joseph with the, he didn't get all of it.
Yeah, wasn't perfect, but is it enough?
Yeah.
And then Gacy comes back with an elbow drop to the back, and then an Alabama slam, shades of Bob Holly.
Yeah. One of the best.
Then follows up with a powerbomb, but Breakker kicks out.
This was pretty good, like a sit-out Liger bomb. It was nice.
And then Gacy goes for his, like, handspring clothesline, but Bron ducks it and hits a big spear and retains the title. So none of his power slam, but finishes with a spear. He does have a good spear as well.
Yeah, it had some cool stuff. It reminded me that we've been watching this Joe Gacy angle for weeks now, and it's just been the drizzling shits. But when it comes to some wrestling, the guy can actually go, I think, is what I got a glimpse of here. Like, oh yeah, what we've seen of him before, he knows what he's doing. And at this point, I'd say Braun knows what he's doing as well here with some stuff. This wasn't very long. It wasn't very flashy. I wasn't excited about this match anyway. So it didn't disappoint me. It amazed me. It just was like, all right, cool. We knew that there's no way this Joe Gacy thing was going forward. We just wanted this to move. I think this should have been more of a Goldberg situation. Just squashed him. Braun should have just said, you shouldn't have messed with my family. Boom. Jackhammer. Whatever the moves he does. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. And beat him. And like then set up your next angle afterwards.
I feel it should have been one way or the other. It should have either been, yeah, Braun just kill him.
Yeah.
Or Gacy, like, really, you know, doing the stuff with the druids. Like, really, like, looking like he's going to beat him. For Bron to then overcome it and win. It was just a little in the middle for me. And it just felt a little just flat.
Especially after that hot match right before it. Yeah. So it's like definitely put... Even the crowd weren't very
into necessarily it. Bad. It was just a bit like flat for me.
And then, of course, the angle so after.
After the match, two druids then get onto the apron. And they're kind of wearing like red masks under their hoods. And NXT finishes.
Yeah, we thought our feed cut out.
Yeah.
And we like quickly went to check, and no, that was just the end of NXT. So the druids just stare at him. And
no reveal of who these are.
Is it because Joe Gacy said, like, even if I lose, there'll still be some hell to pay?
So is this continuing?
I guess so, because that sucks. That sucks.
I mean, are we going to then see a .com of what happened after?
I just looked to see if
nothing.
Something. I don't see anything. I mean, by tomorrow, by the time you're listening to this, sure. But
yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, kind of flat ending there for sure. But hey, Braun won. I was expecting someone else to like attack him and set up your next, you know,
Von Wagner.
Literally, dude, anyone other than the dude in a druid thing. So yeah. I'm happy this angle's over, but it doesn't even sound like it is. So, but I'll look at the positives. I loved that tag team match. That absolutely delivered for me. The triple threat was also awesome. So NXT 2.0, finally kind of getting, right, give the matches time. If you're promoting this as like kind of a TV special show, let them be treated like big matches. I loved how the North American title match gets the intros in the ring, like a title match. Yeah. Like treat it, give it some time. But then you also had, like, you would say a dream match with the Vikings versus the Creeds. That definitely was a highlight. And again, would recommend people checking it out. Everything else, there was a lot of other bad stuff and laughable stuff. The Mafia meeting, that really doesn't matter. So we're going to see a whole lot more of Mafia stuff for sure. But then the beach stuff was really bad.
I kind of really enjoyed this show I thought the bad stuff was so ridiculous. It was just laugh out loud.
Yeah.
And I got two really good matches. I thought all the in-ring was, like, none of the wrestling, like, stunk up the joint this week. And there were two really good matches. So
yeah.
I quite enjoyed the show this week. Like, it depends what mood I'm in sometimes. And, like, all the ridiculous stuff, don't get me wrong, it's bad. It's not good. But I do get enjoyment watching some wrestle crap sometimes.
100%. And we love laughing at ridiculous stuff and just shaking our head being like, ah, oh, man. And I just like, I see the Wendy Chu binoculars shot and I'm like, I can't wait to use this in memes. It's just like, that's what it is. But the wrestling did hit tonight. So that's probably why I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
Do I sound so crazy? I love watching wrestling when there's wrestling.
Yeah.
Is it so hard instead of just, I don't like watching Degrassi all the time. If I did, I'd watch Degrassi.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
This felt like Baywatch, and also this is like their version of Bash at the Beach. But Yeah, I liked Hobbs and Starks at the beach more though, sort of than never mind.
Let's get into some feedback. We post our feedback threads on the Post Wrestling Forum and on the Up Next Facebook group. So make sure you search for Up Next Group on Facebook and join it. And we'll start off with Corey, who says, this show is utterly atrocious now, especially when it comes to the portrayal of women. The horny segments involving Toxic Attraction and the incredibly shallow gimmicks in the breakout tournament. No wonder Ember Moon put WWE on blast for it in her interview with CVV. I think I might be done with NXT 2.0 until they realize that women aren't just there to be ogled at, because with the de-emphasis of women like Io Shirai, they could easily find something for her to do while she's injured, but they choose not to. Saray and the release of women like Dakota Kai, along with constant horny commentary from Wade when it comes to Nikita, Lash, Tiffany, etc. It's just too much. I can honestly say 2.0 is now the worst weekly WWE show. That's not even talking about how awful a lot of the men's stuff is now as well, especially with the Gacy Breaker feud continuing, it seems.
I mean, a few was it 2 weeks ago when they did the push, the leap of faith thing with the Druids and stuff? That definitely made me go, yeah, I wouldn't blame anyone for never watching this show anymore. Definitely, like, the rest, how I do it, so I can imagine other wrestling fans, you have, you know, stuff you watch week to week, okay? You watch, you know, you want to watch your Raws or your AEWs or even TV shows or movies that you like watching. Slowly, when you don't like a show, you know, maybe The Bachelor just isn't hitting this season, you drop it from your roster. Mm. And I think a lot of people definitely did drop NXT from their normal viewing things. But I wouldn't say this episode tonight would be the one that makes me go, no, never again. But
no.
I did feel that way 2 weeks ago. So yeah. We go to Sean, who writes in, I thought the show was pretty fun. Of the five scheduled matches, thank you for keeping it at the five matches. Hey, maybe that makes sense. Takeover.
Yeah, it wasn't eight. It was five.
Yeah. He continues. Three more than delivered. We got a great opener from Grimes, Solo, and Mello, though I kind of wish Solo have gotten the win. Nathan Frazier had a terrific debut against Waller, and I really got a kick out of the finish with Andre Chase and the air horn. Yeah. And what a Phoenix splash from Frazier. This was also the best Waller has looked in a while. That over the back on Prettier was impressive. The Creeds and Raiders had the kind of hard-hitting match you would expect from these teams, and cracks in Diamond Mine are officially starting to show. Your mileage may vary on the Wendy Chu Toxic Attraction vignettes, but I thought they were fun. Chu's commitment to this is totally ridiculous character sells it for me. The six women tag was okay, but the talent gap between the women, I think he means just the tag match, was good. He says, it became glaring as the match went on, especially when it came to Lash Legend. The main event was fine, but nothing to write home about. I had hoped this would end the feud, but unfortunately it looks like it's going to continue. Anyways, looking forward to the women's breakout tournament starting next week. It seems to set up for Roxanne Perez to win. I'm looking forward to seeing more from the new female talent.
And finally, over at the forum, we go to MJ, who says, Mark Long is an OG. I and several friends have long wanted a Challenge Times WWE crossover with The Miz. Once talked to Johnny Bananas about this in a club. I might come back to 2.0 for Mark Long.
Wow, so Mark Long's a draw.
Mark Long's a draw.
Wow.
We gotta see if we can watch some Mark Long on the Challenge after this. Damn. Maybe we're missing something here.
I want to know who Johnny Bananas is. That guy sounds great. Johnny Bananas.
Isn't that Vincent Chase's brother in Entourage? Wasn't he Johnny Bananas?
Maybe that's the guy. Maybe he's got to talk to MJ about it.
You talk to Johnny Bananas from Entourage?
MJ feels like he would be in Entourage, the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which one would he be?
I don't know. It's been a while, but Jeremy Piven's.
Yeah. Ari, I guess.
Guys, thanks for writing in feedback. We have that Facebook group you should join because it's fun, and we will read your comments and questions on the show. That was NXT. We hope you enjoyed us talking all about it. We will be back tomorrow night. We're going to be doing a BDE Elite, chatting all about AEW Dynamite. Dante Martin versus Rey Fenix. Say no more.
That, oh, damn, you don't
even need to announce anything else. Oh no, they did announce Genie Pants.
Oh, yes, with against Riho, right?
Yeah. So
Yuka Sakazaki?
Yeah, so we'll chat all about that tomorrow night, and that'll be on this free feed as well. As well as another Shot in the Dark, I believe, will be coming out. John Cena chatting all about all the other wrestling, some Impact, all the other stuff, everything else. And then, of course, patreon.com/upnext for $5 a month, meaning it's the new month right now. You get the whole month of upcoming content plus everything in our back catalog there from the past months, which means it's like pennies. Dollars, dimes per podcast. Go check it out and support us here at the BDE. We appreciate you listening, and at Up Next Podcast on Twitter for all the updates of all the shows and everything else. And that's it.
That is it.
All right, we're gonna have to go watch some Owen Hart matches for our best match ever, Owen Hart coming out. But thanks guys for listening. We appreciate it. I myself, Braden Harrington, I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
Take care, goodbye, be safe, and spring break forever.
Ahoy!